the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Are you exhausted all the time, plagued by brain fog and unable to lose weight? Do you struggle with insomnia, anxiety, and hormonal imbalances? But does your doctor insist that your labs are normal and that you are just, well, getting older, or that's all in your head? As anyone who has been there knows, nothing is more frustrating, stressful, and emotionally draining than feeling unwell and being told you're fine by the very person who's supposed to heal you. Joining me on the program today is Dr. Amy Myers, best-selling author of The Autoimmune Solution. We're here today to talk about her new book, The Thyroid Connection, why you feel tired, brain fogged, and overweight, and how you can get your life back. Doctor, in your book, you mentioned so many symptoms, large and small, that are connected to thyroid. You know, reading your book, I never knew there were so many symptoms or things that we have out there that all are related to thyroid. How did you discover this, or what led you to pursue this path in your new book?
Well, it all relates back to my own health history of having a history of Graves' disease, which is an autoimmune condition of an overactive thyroid. So I often say conventional medicine failed me, and it's my mission to not have it fail you as well. And then being a physician and a functional medicine physician, having people come into my clinic and just seeing how conventional medicine is really failing a lot of people, particularly those with hypothyroidism or underactive thyroid, and really not properly diagnosing that. I mean, I would just see it day in and day out in my practice. So, you know, there's thyroid receptors on every single cell in our body, so it can affect literally from our brain to our toes and everything in between. And so the symptoms can be varied, which is one of the reasons it gets missed. And it's why it is such an epidemic and why the symptoms are so varied for people.
Now, in your book, you talk about various symptoms of thyroid problems. One, if you have too little thyroid, and one, if you have too much. I'm just going to mention a couple of them here, but on too little, you often feel cold and might not sweat. You can become constipated. You can't lose weight. Brain fog, memory lapses. You struggle with fatigue, sleep far more than usual. Those are some of the too little. On the too much thyroid, you often feel warm or increased perspiration. You struggle with insomnia, panic attacks, tremors, muscle weakness. Your eyes seem to bulge out of their sockets. I didn't realize there were so many signs that indicate that thyroid was at the root of the problem.
Yeah. So again, it's kind of two sides of one coin. And a lot of people can actually have overlapping symptoms, which is another reason why people are often misdiagnosed, because they might read an article or go into their doctor, or their doctor might hear, oh, well, I'm feeling depressed and I've gained 10 pounds, but I'm having insomnia, you know, which that more goes with the hyperthyroid, but they have two hypothyroid ones. There's a lot of crossover of symptoms. And often if you don't fit neatly into one box, your doctor might miss it because they're thinking, oh, well, that doesn't check all those boxes of hypo that had some hyper in there. And so that doesn't really fit. But you can definitely have symptoms from both sides of that list of things. So underactive, everything slows down. So people have depression, they might have a slow heart rate, they might gain weight, they might have dry skin, they might have constipation. And then overactive, like I had, I was having symptoms of anxiety, insomnia, panic attacks, weight loss, tremors, fast heart rate. So everything speeds up.
Now, you mentioned this is becoming, I didn't realize this, a thyroid epidemic, that thyroid dysfunction is one of the most underdiagnosed and properly treated health conditions. I didn't realize it was as large of a condition as it is.
Yeah, so it's affecting, that we know, 27 million Americans. And, you know, those are the people who've gotten diagnosed. There's a thought that at least 60% of the people who have thyroid dysfunction are not even being diagnosed. So it's really, you know, epidemic proportions here in terms of those people who have some sort of thyroid dysfunction.
So why is the functioning of the thyroid so important? I mean, we all know that we have very important organs within the body, the stomach, the liver, lungs, and our heart. But this small little gland, why is it so important?
Well, as I mentioned, there are thyroid receptors on every single cell in our body. And so, you know, we think of the thyroid, people in medicine often call it the master gland or the metabolism driver, or our, you know, really like the engine of our body. at perfect, we're running optimally. And when things slow down, then again, you could feel sluggish or gain weight or have brain fog. And if it's overactive, then things could be too revved up, which is not a good situation either, because you're burning through. I mean, I got to the point with my condition where I was burning through my muscles and was having muscle weakness and tremors and had to hold onto the stairs to go down. So, you know, it's like Goldilocks. You don't want the porridge too hot. You don't want the porridge too cold. But really, as I mentioned, from our brain to our heart to our little toe, there are thyroid receptors in every single cell, and we need those cells to be all functioning and optimally working properly. And then, of course, it's a hormone, and so all of our hormones are interconnected in terms of our adrenal hormones, our sex hormones, our sleep hormones, our blood sugar hormones. All of these things are talking to each other all the time. So if one of those systems is out of balance, all of the systems are going to be out of balance.
In your book, you have developed a plan. You call it the connection plan. I wonder if we can just discuss a couple of these. One of them involves nutrients, things like avoiding inflammatory foods, especially things like gluten and dairy, from autoimmune conditions, healing your gut, and getting rid of some of the toxic burdens. And of course, we know the role that stress plays in health.
Yeah, so I have a program just in my experience, both my personal experience and my experience as both a conventional doctor, a functional medicine doctor, and then now having people done my program from, you know, literally all over the world, I've found that there are kind of five root causes that seem to be the underlying factors to all chronic illness, frankly, from autoimmunity, like I write about in my first book, The Autoimmune Solution, to those that I write about in The Thyroid Connection for those with underactive or overactive thyroid. And that tends to be our diets that we're eating these days. We're eating heavily processed foods that are genetically modified or hybridized or being sprayed with different chemicals to something called leaky gut. If your listeners don't know about that, but it's our gut is really the gateway to our health, with nearly 80% of our immune system in our gut. And the research showing that having a leaky gut can lead to autoimmunity. Of course, you mentioned stress, toxins. We live in a much more toxic world than our ancestors ever did. And then infections, we're seeing a lot of correlations between various infections with both autoimmunity, thyroid dysfunction, different viruses, both from a mechanism called cellular hijacking to the bystander effect to something called molecular mimicry, where the protein structures of some of these infections look so similar to our own body tissues, particularly our thyroid, that as our immune system goes to attack that infection, it inadvertently attacks the thyroid on its way to do that.
Now, one of the things that you also talk about in your book, there are many myths that have developed about thyroid function. In fact, let me just mention a couple, like number one, gaining weight and losing energy and having a lowered sex drive are all normal parts of getting older, and there's just not that much you can do about it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, this day and age, the bar has been lowered for our health. I mean, you know, look at the commercials online. You see commercials for autoimmune drugs. You see commercials for acid blocking medication. You see commercials for allergy medication. Synthroid, which is the supplemental thyroid hormone, is the number one prescribed drug, if you want to call it that. I call it a hormone, but in the United States, so they don't need to have any commercials on TV for that. They have enough customers. We see these commercials and we think, oh, well then, you know, we're seeing all these commercials and I know five friends that are all on these acid blocking medications. Of course, this is a normal part of aging, right? So we've kind of, you know, gotten to this way of, oh, that extra 10 pounds is just normal to happen. All my friends have that. I should be being tired and I can't keep up, you know, once I'm 50 years old. That's just normal aging. But I'm here to say that it doesn't need to be. And often it simply can be a problem with the thyroid being underactive. And once either going through a program like mine and getting it more active or going on supplemental thyroid hormone or getting on the right dose and the right type of supplemental thyroid hormone, that can make a dramatic change in energy levels and libido, in brightness of your skin and eyes and hair and nails to, you know, brain function.
Another one that's out there, diet doesn't affect your thyroid. We're finding, including your earlier book, the kind of foods that we eat have so much to do with the health that we enjoy. But here's one, diet doesn't affect your thyroid.
Yeah, so one of the biggest takeaways that I can say from that is back to that concept of molecular mimicry. And that is that what we do know through research is that the gluten molecule has proteins in it that look very similar to certain proteins in the thyroid molecule. So again, when you have a leaky gut and that protein of gluten that was never meant to get into our bloodstream actually does, then our immune system is right there ready to attack it. And when it goes to attack it, it can inadvertently attack the thyroid because of, again, that molecular mimicry. And that's just one example. The other is all the other foods that create leaky gut, that again, having a leaky gut is the gateway to a lot of this dysfunction.
Yeah, one of the myths that you mentioned, the health of your gut has no bearing on your thyroid, is a myth. And one of the things that I found in just reading your book and others is that almost 80% of all disease is related to our digestive system.
Again, we know through the work of Alessio Fasano out of Harvard, who's the leading researcher for leaky gut and was the one to discover a molecule called zonulin, which rises when we have a leaky gut. He realized that that was the gateway to autoimmunity. Most all thyroid dysfunction is autoimmune in nature. And so there are foods that can create a leaky gut. There's research showing that gluten. Now they're trying to discover, is it the actual gluten from the wheat or is it the Roundup? There's a lot of research now that, you know, non-organic wheat and many grains and crops in general, like corn, are sprayed with Roundup. We also know that GMO foods like corn and soy can cause leaky gut. And then, of course, things like antibiotics and a disruption in your microbiome, stress can create it. And then when we have infections in there from a diet full of carbs and sugars, so if we have small bowel bacterial overgrowth or we have candida overgrowth, those things as well can contribute to leaky gut.
So one of the things that you talk about and we're finding more and more is that physical and emotional stressors that affect the thyroid function. There's so many bad things that happen when we undergo stress. Let's talk about those that affect the thyroid.
Yeah, so we've been talking about diet. We've been talking about gut. And so I've briefly mentioned certain infections that, again, through that molecular mimicry can have an effect on the thyroid. There are certain plastics and chemicals in our makeup and body care products that can mimic estrogen. When we have higher levels of estrogen, it can bind our thyroid hormone, leading for us to have less circulating thyroid hormone. So, you know, these things can have a big impact on, they're called endocrine disruptors, and our thyroid is part of our endocrine system. And then, of course, stress. When we have stress, our cortisol rises. That prevents us from making a conversion from T4, the storage form of thyroid hormone, into free T3, active form of the thyroid hormone that goes into every receptor. Stress creates inflammation. When we have high inflammation and cytokines, we don't convert from that T4 to T3. We can, in fact, convert more into something called reverse T3, which is more like the brake rather than the gas of the thyroid. Stress can cause leaky gut, which much of our thyroid hormone is converted in our gut. And then, of course, we've been talking about leaky gut and its effect. So there's a whole, you know, realm of things that these environmental factors, how they can affect the thyroid and particularly stress, which is why I have a 28-day program in my book that is a step-by-step guide. And I incorporate stress reduction, or I call it stress relieving activities, as part of the plan.
In your book, we're talking about something that is not working, in this case, our thyroid. Something has gone amiss here. You talk about conventional medicine versus functional medicine. Explain the difference between the two.
I was classically trained as a conventional physician and then moved into functional medicine. So in conventional medicine, we're really just trying to hear symptoms and find pills that will help address those symptoms. Not really looking at the body as interconnected and not really interested in the why or the root cause. In functional medicine, we're very interested in the root cause, the why. That's really, we don't necessarily care about the diagnosis, or the diagnosis is the starting point, but the end point is the why. And so it's much more detective work, and we see the body is interconnected. And it's why we're talking about all these environmental factors. We don't think of it as just the thyroid. When it comes to the thyroid in particular, you know, conventional medicine for me just wanted to give me harsh medication or blow up my thyroid or remove it. Whereas I've had people literally around the world who have done my program for Graves and have completely reversed that and not had to do the extreme things that I had to do for Graves. You know, I always say I wish I had known me back then. And there have been people who've been able to reverse their Hashimoto's and not need to be on supplemental thyroid hormone. And, you know, classically conventional medicine doesn't believe that autoimmunity can be reversed. And I see it all the time.
I know you've written a lot about this, but can you explain to our listeners the role of autoimmune issues in chronic inflammation? That's a word that we're hearing more and more now, and it's something that can really be treated with diet.
Yeah, so I would more say that chronic inflammation can lead into autoimmunity, and by definition, having an autoimmune condition pretty much means that you have chronic inflammation. So they're very hand in hand. My first book, as you mentioned, I write about an autoimmune spectrum. My first book, The Autoimmune Solution, where, you know, it's kind of these signals that there's inflammation going on, whether it's chronic sinus infections to asthma or eczema. These are all inflammatory conditions, you know, irritable bowel, gas and bloating, to, you know, these things going on for year after year after year, and more inflammatory, you know, the joint pain that comes and goes, to then one day just sticking to potentially one day, you know, leading into rheumatoid arthritis. I'm not suggesting everybody who has inflammation is eventually going to get autoimmunity, but certainly those are your little warning signs that it'd be great, you know, for people to, you know, get on the program before something actually has happened. We know with thyroid dysfunction, you know, these antibodies can come out 5 years before any destruction of the thyroid happens. So it's why I check thyroid antibodies on everybody when they walk in the door.
Now, something that we've been talking about here is inflammation. Can you explain inflammation, what it is, its role in conditions that are associated, for example, with chronic inflammation?
So chronic inflammation or acute inflammation is something that our body naturally does. It's there to protect us. So we, you know, think of things as being, you know, red and swollen. Those are reactions of our immune system, you know, going in to either heal a wound or fight an infection. I mean, you want that acute inflammation to happen when you're sick or when you break your leg or when, you know, you get a bee sting. It's how our body's natural defenses come in when you get a virus. But it's when this acute inflammation turns into chronic inflammation that ultimately the immune system gets suppressed, and then we end up with something like autoimmunity. So, you know, it's very important to distinguish acute from chronic, because we want the acute to, you know, kick in when we need it, but we don't want the chronic. And the chronic, as I've mentioned, you know, ultimately can lead to things like autoimmunity. I mean, some things that people don't think of as being an inflammatory process certainly are anything that ends in itis. So pancreatitis, bursitis, sinusitis. Itis in medicine means inflammation. So any, if you've been diagnosed with any of those itises, whether it's, you know, acute or chronic, then you have inflammation going on. Other things that, you know, asthma, eczema, those are inflammatory conditions as well. I mean, one could even say acne is an inflammatory condition.
There's been books written about it. You mentioned in your new book, Factors That Contribute to Leaky Gut. You mentioned a number of them, which I was surprised, which is challenging food and food sensitivities, everything from alcohol to eggs, gluten, grains, nightshade vegetables, and of course, sugar. You talk also about things like chemotherapy, medications. I was really surprised. You talked about the acid blocking medications we just talked about, antibiotics, everything from birth control pills to aspirin. What really surprised me is the number of things that contribute to leaky gut. In other words, it's not just alcohol. We've heard about certain foods, but medications as well.
Oh, for sure. And it backs up even further than that. You know, it's really mom and what's going on with mom when she gets pregnant. Does she have a leaky gut? You know, does mom get antibiotics when she's pregnant? Did mom have a C-section? Was baby not breastfed? I mean, it really starts back there. I mean, people will say, what's the best way I can prevent from having a leaky gut? It's like, well, the hope that your mom didn't have one and that she doesn't get antibiotics. And, you know, probably the number one thing is to be born vaginally. Now, obviously, if you weren't, there's nothing you can do about that now. And there's certain times where, you know, people have to emergently have a C-section. But if you don't, it's really better not to do that. And if you do, there's now some studies coming out with putting gauze in the vaginal canal and wiping the babies down as soon as they're born and seeing that their microbiome is very similar to those babies that were born through C-section. So that's great news. So it really starts back there. But then, yes, I mean, food can create leaky gut. We mentioned with our GMO foods, with the hybridized foods, with medications, acid blocking medications, as you mentioned. steroids, anti-inflammatories, like Motrin can do that, alcohol, stress, certain infections, like I mentioned, candida, small bowel bacterial overgrowth. There are a lot of things that can create leaky gut. But, you know, the good news is, you know, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer in all of this. I mean, both of my books have programs, you know, they give you a little bit of information and tell you what to do. The autoimmune solution, there's a solution in it. I didn't feel that I could call the thyroid connection the thyroid solution, because if you do need to be on supplemental thyroid, you need to work with a doctor. And so I didn't want to mislead people that the whole solution was in the book. For some people it is, but for other people, they do need that other part of working with their doctor. But the good news is that our gut cells turn over every 48 hours. And so in research that we know with our microbiome is that our gut is influenced every day by what we eat. And within 24 to 48 hours, we can dramatically shift our microbiome. So the good news is, yeah, there are a lot of things that can cause leaky gut. But the great news is you can also change your gut flora and fauna very quickly by changing your diet, and you can heal your gut. And I tell you how to do that in both books. So for a lot of people, that leads to change. I can't tell you that you can heal your gut overnight, but you can begin that process overnight, literally. So that's the good news for people.
I want to talk about gluten for a moment, because you talk about it in your book. I never thought about gluten or heard about it until maybe 5-10 years ago. Why is it such a bad thing? I mean, human beings have always eaten grain. Gluten is in grain. Why is it bad now when it wasn't in the past, or was it bad in the past?
Yeah. So when I was going through medical school and I went back late, I've heard about celiac as being this rare disease. And I remember I knew somebody who had it, and I lived in New Orleans, and I just thought, you know, that is the worst possible thing. Like, I could not think of anything worse to happen to somebody. It was my thought, you know, eating fried shrimp po' boys and stuff like that, and growing up on French bread and butter. But it is so common. And of course, I now follow a gluten-free diet and even a grain-free diet. But what has happened is we hybridized our wheat. And so, I mean, I think right now we're just kind of in the perfect storm. We learned how to deaminate our wheat, which means that it's water soluble, so it can be in anything. It can be in our shampoo now, medications, fake crab meat. So we're eating a lot more of it. It's in everything. We have leaky guts because of the Roundup and the stress and the medications and the C-sections and all the other stuff we've talked about. We are stressed out. We're overextending ourselves. We have more infections than before, and we live in a really toxic world. And so you put all this together, and it's become a real problem for people. And, you know, it's a legitimate problem for people now where it wasn't. I mean, even 15 years ago when I was in med school, it was a rare disease. I mean, I'm not suggesting that I have celiac or other people have celiac, but nobody was talking about gluten sensitivity, and celiac was very rare. And that is not the case anymore. I mean, autoimmunity in general has gone up threefold over the last 50 years. Thyroid, you know, 27 million Americans with it. We're not getting better at diagnosing this stuff. Something's going on in our environment, which is, you know, what I talk about in the books is how to figure out what those things are for you. And then really, most importantly, what to do about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, the food that you and I are eating today, Amy, is much, much different than the food my grandfather ate at the turn of the century. I want to talk about a medical issue, the thyroid. I can't remember when I get my annual physical, they take blood tests. I have never remembered my personal physician ever saying anything about thyroid. So what kind of tests should be done if you suspect there is or may be a thyroid condition that you're suffering from?
The traditional test that a conventional doctor does is something called a TSH, and that's really looking at your pituitary and what it's telling your thyroid to do. If you're lucky, they'll do something called a free T4, but that's the storage form of your thyroid hormone. What you really want to know, in addition to those two things, is your free T3, which is the most active form of the thyroid hormone that goes into every cell and every receptor within the cell. It's good to know your reverse T3 because you can kind of look at that gas to brake ratio. And then for everybody, I recommend that they also get thyroid antibodies, thyroglobulin and TPO antibodies, so you know whether your thyroid condition is autoimmune or not. And, you know, in terms of what you'll do about it, that doesn't make a difference. You're still going to, at least as far as I'm concerned with the program in my book, go through the same program. But it puts you in a different category. Once you have an autoimmune disease, you're 3 times more likely to get another. And so you definitely want to know that information. It also means you likely have a leaky gut, and you'd really want to spend some time, you know, making sure that you heal your gut. So I do think it's important to know whether you have autoimmune thyroid or not, whereas conventional medicine says it doesn't really matter. It's going to be treated the same way, so it doesn't matter. And I would say it actually does matter.
Towards the end of the book, you talk about, you know, the role of stress, the solution, and exercise. But as I recall earlier in your book, over-exercise could also create a problem as well. So what's the right balance, and what kind of program should one do? And does it depend on one's physical condition, age? Is there a right way? Is it different for different people?
Yes. Everybody is an individual. So everything we're talking about is different for different people. So exercise is really one of those things that should make you feel alive and rejuvenated. If you're exercising and you're having to rest a day or two afterwards, it's giving you fatigue, you're exhausted, then, you know, that's not the right type of exercise for you. I mean, there are people clearly out there that thrive and can, you know, handle doing Ironman and women and triathlons. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily healthy to do those things, but there are people who are really built for that, you know, professional athletes. And then the rest of us are not built to do that. We actually did more things like running in spurts and stopping and resting and running in spurts. And so you really have to find the right thing for you. It might be yoga. It might be restorative yoga. It might be power yoga. It might be CrossFit. It might be jogging. It might be walking. And then, of course, people have different levels of already their fitness, but also, you know, mobility and things like that. I personally am really into mobility type exercises, functional type of exercises, and more sort of short bursts of intensity type of exercises. But you have to find what works for you. And exercise can be a stressor. People who run a marathon, at the end, their white blood cell count is suppressed. So it can be a stressor on the body. And again, stress rises cortisol. Cortisol binds the thyroid, raises estrogen, inhibits the conversion from the storage to the active form. So you kind of, just like in everything in life, need that right balance.
And finally, towards the end of their book, you come up with a step-by-step plan. I think you go through this over a one-month period. Could you give us a shortened version of that, doctor, and tell us how difficult is this to follow? Because I know for some individuals, following a certain eating pattern or eating certain foods, given their previous habits, is very hard to do.
Yeah, well, it depends on if you're a person who likes to dive 2 feet in or you like to kind of wade into the water. I mean, you can do both. The program is meant to dive right in, but I always want to meet people where they are. So I always, you know, in the book say, if you can't do the whole shebang, at least start here. And, you know, I think certainly when people get to a certain place in their health, then they're ready to kind of dive in. You know, because I live and breathe this way, and I am mostly seeing people in my clinic who've flown from all over to see me, they're very motivated. So in my clinic, we really don't have issues with that. But there are people around the world doing the program and loving it. So I don't find that it's difficult. It's not restrictive in the sense of calorie counting or portion size. It's more taking out the bad inflammatory toxic foods and replacing them with real whole foods. I mean, frankly, how we should just all be eating, right? I mean, going to the periphery of the grocery store. And it doesn't mean that once you're through with the program that you can't ever have a gluten-free cookie or something. It just, you need to, again, assess what are your no-no foods at the end? What are your okay foods? What are foods that you're good with, you know, once a day, once a week, once a month? What can you ultimately end up getting away with without sabotaging yourself or setting yourself back? And that's really what I teach people. I mean, the program in both books is called the Myers Way because it's a way of life. This isn't a quick fix. This isn't a, hey, go do this thing for a 30-day cleanse and then your autoimmunity will be gone and you never have to worry about it again, or your thyroid function is restored to optimal again. It's a journey. People can get reversal in 30 days. People can have massive shifts and improvements in their health in 30 days. And it's intended to learn really what are your triggers. Is it stress? So you really have to be cognizant of that. Is it over-exercising? You know, for me, one of them is toxic mold, and I live here in Austin, so I have to be very careful places I go because there's a lot of mold here. Is it gluten for you? You know, what are the things? That's what I'm mostly trying to teach people, is to learn about their bodies and how they react to things so they know what's good for them and what's not good for them. And it is really individualized for people.
Well, it's a fascinating book, Amy. I didn't realize the role of the thyroid and some of the issues in symptoms. If somebody suspects that they may have a thyroid issue, I guess maybe one of the first things that you would recommend is they see their doctor requesting a certain kind of test, let's say a blood test.
Like I mentioned before, I mean, with autoimmunity, at least with the thyroid, then you want to be looking at the thyroid peroxidase antibodies or TPO and the thyroglobulin antibodies. And then the thyroid as a whole, you know, the free T3, free T4, reverse T3, and TSH. And of course, I have all this in the book. I mean, the book, The Thyroid Connection, was meant to be a companion for you to work with your doctor. I've had a lot of people, it really brings me joy, have either bought a copy for their doctor or brought their copy with them. And they've been very receptive to them. I mean, I'm sure there's some who haven't been, but I haven't heard about those. And, you know, this book is meant to be a companion to work with your conventional doctor. I mean, if you can find a functional medicine physician, awesome. But if you can't, I didn't want that to stop you. So this is really, there's a letter in the back to your doctor about the tests I suggest, why I suggest them, what the optimal reference ranges are. The book is really about the different types and forms of supplemental thyroid hormone, how to know which one's the right one for you, how to know if you're on the right dose. And then, of course, for those people with Graves' disease, you know, more natural ways than what I had to do of not needing to take those harsh medications or have your thyroid blown up and, you know, exactly a day-by-day program, a dietary program and stress-relieving program.
Well, Amy, once again, a fabulous book. The name of the book is called The Thyroid Connection, Why You Feel Tired, Brain Fogged, and Overweight, and How You Can Get Your Life Back by Dr. Amy Myers, who's been my guest. Amy, all the best with this book to you. Great book, and once again, much success.
Awesome. Thanks so much. I really appreciate you having me on, and best of luck to everybody in the new year of 2017. I hope it's happy and healthy for everybody.
Well, thank you, doctor. All the best.
Take care.
You know, the amazing thing, we interviewed, had Amy on the program with her best-selling book, The Autoimmune Solution, got a lot of response for that, so I wanted to have her back with her new book. It's amazing the things that we're starting to find out more about our health today, so much of it having to do with stress factors, our environment, the foods that we eat, so much is caused by the type of diets that we have and the foods that we eat. I mean, as I mentioned in the interview, the foods that you and I eat today are different than, let's say, our parents 40, 50 years ago, or even our grandparents. Fabulous book. If you have any of the symptoms that we talked about, you may want to pick up a copy and read it, or maybe you know somebody that could have a thyroid problem. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until we talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.